guess this is it. I guess we're doing it right now. And this is the episode.
Oh, okay.
Just a quick survey of the room. Who is wearing a robe or comfortable outerwear?
I'm not wearing a robe, but I definitely am wearing fleece-lined leggings, which are deceitful in that you can technically get away with wearing them outside, but they are very much like jammies. And I'm wearing a very oversized shirt, but that's just the style. It's not technically a night shirt that I have styled into fashion. No, it has the devil on it, so it can't be.
Oh, all right.
Oh, all right.
Oh, is that the devil? I love him.
Yeah, I really
love his works.
Yeah, I'm a really big fan of what he's done with the place.
All right, so Katie's wearing a leg robe. David?
I am wearing a cardigan sweater, which is pretty cozy, but also I'm wearing like real pants. I have jeans on, and I am not, none of my clothes have the likeness of the devil on them, but okay. His face is painted on my heart.
Ooh.
Oh, all right. Well, that's going to manifest later in the show. And then my wife's brother was visiting, and he's left us what I would describe as like a full body jacket blanket that I'm wearing. I look like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man shape.
Yeah.
You can't really see.
It looks comfy. You've inspired me. I've thrown the legendary Snoopy blanket over my body now. So we're doing this Patreon episode Ballin' Out Classic style, which is during the day.
Yes.
In multiple states of consciousness.
Yeah.
Right. We were too awake last night, so we thought we would
push
it back a day.
Yeah, wouldn't it be
get
cool
everybody
if
real
sleepy
drowsy.
Yeah, the daylight energy is really fucking with me right now.
I have I've developed an just awful sleep hygiene where I just don't even feel human until the sun leaves the sky.
Right. And again, Katie, thank you for bringing the devil into our show.
Yeah, you know, I'm here to just spread the word. If you open your heart, open your mind, great things can happen.
Come dance with us. We are the children of the night.
Yeah.
Hey, be sure to like, subscribe, and live deliciously by supporting the show.
Simp for me, my angel of music.
My cloven hoofed fuck slut.
I'm just thinking about the part in Dracula, Anthony Hopkins being like she's now a simp for the devil.
I feel like people can't really get like a good gauge on how much penis the devil has. It's always like,
well, he's
too
magical.
Much, but also you never see it. Like it's like hidden somewhere.
I think he's magical and he can just, you know, but he's also kind of insecure. So sometimes he has to remind people he's a devil and that's why it's like the size of his body. And other times he's feeling real confident. So he doesn't need it all out and about.
Well, he's wearing.
My question. Why not just cut out the middle ground and make the devil shaped like a penis?
I mean, he kind of is.
Like the depending whole. He is not kind of shaped
depending
like a penis.
Depending on the depiction.
He has horns and goat feet.
This is erasure of people like me who have goat shaped penises.
Yeah, we went into that whole thing about shark claspers that time. Who's to say what kind of
who's
penis?
To say?
Well, so
it
I was
all
just.
It feels the same with the lights out where the Lord cannot find you.
I just looked it up because I was like, yeah, I feel like the devil always does have a lot of penis energy, but I couldn't picture what, like, you know, that picture of Baphomet, like what he's wearing in that.
New guy just dropped and the devil.
And like I looked it up and the depictions of Baphomet, he's wearing like some parachute pants. So like his situation,
well,
he's got like
not,
a roomy situation.
They're his hairy legs.
Are they? No.
Goat.
This looks like fabric to me.
Okay. Just saying.
Yeah, that's he wears the hammer pants so that he has the flexibility down there, you know.
I had an ex-boyfriend who was working on that Hail Satan documentary, and like he had to go film like a Satanist thing during Halloween.
That's not where they tickle all the boys?
No, it's just like a documentary about Satanists in America. And, you know, like all those cute Satanists, how they're always like, oh, there's a law that says you can put religious statues up, so now you must put Baphomet. A tee-hee-hee.
It's, oh, like, it's like flying spaghetti monster shit.
Well, that's, okay, that's what I was going to get to, which is that, so he was kind of basic. He's an ex for a reason. And he was like all excited.
Kick to the curb.
Yeah, the, you got no idea.
2011 boyfriend.
Yeah, suck a dick. He was all psyched to go to this like Satanist thing because he thought it was all gonna be like sexy naked ladies and stuff. And I was like, I don't think you know what a Satanist looks like. And I don't mean that in like a you don't know what a Satanist looks like. I'm like, they're
this
just
is what a Satanist looks like.
Yeah, I'm like, they're just basically. It's still religion. It's just like people who were super Christian that needed to rebel but were too scared to just like not believe in anything. So it's just like, you know, weird Renaissance fair dudes. Like the ugly end of polyamory that I try to disassociate myself from. And
yeah,
so,
it's nerds, right?
Yeah,
it's just nerds.
It's like real Dungeons and Dragons shit. Because like at the end of the day, it's still religion, and like that's so fucking boring to me.
Yeah.
And so he calls me from and he's like, oh man, like I thought you were being rude, but you're right, they're just like kind of weird. And I'm like, yeah, bro.
How many conversations with this gentleman started with I thought you were being rude?
It was a dark
time.
That's
what I want to know.
Well, I'm paraphrasing because he wasn't that self-aware.
I'm airier anyway.
One of the one of my favorite archetypes in horror movies is like the polite Satanists. Like there's a movie called House of the Devil that's really
I love that movie.
It really whoops ass, and the bad guy is Tom Noonan, who's like a scary bad guy in a lot of things. But in that movie, he's like, listen, I'm really sorry about this. Like, I'm very sorry, but you need to carry the seed of
the devil.
Beast.
Yeah. Oh, and before that, he provides her with plenty of snacks and stuff. Yeah. So, like, it's a nice... Yeah, no, I love the Satanist that's just, like, a nice old lady. And it's like, oh, I've got you some cookies. Or, like, there's this really bad Rob Zombie movie I love called Lords of Salem. Like, it's a shitty movie. I want to put that out there. But it's fun to watch, and the evil
Salem anywhere near Dogtown?
No,
it's like
Salem,
the opposite coast, dude.
It's Salem, Massachusetts, Alex.
Dogtown's
familiar?
In California, isn't it?
I haven't seen it. I just don't want these lords to start.
Yeah, and there's like a boarding house owned by like, you know, what you later find out are like witches, but they're like very polite. They're like, come drink wine with us. I've made some tea. I'm like, yeah, bitch, I'll carry the devil. You know?
Yes.
Fuck it. You're having fun. This book club is getting wild.
Rob Zombie movies rock.
Here at the Witches Book Club, we read the same book every week. It's the Devil's Book, and we sign it.
Rob Zombie doesn't always make the best movie, but he always makes the most movie, and I really respect that.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a really good way of putting it, because, like, it's one of those movies I love to watch, and people are like, Katie, is it good? And I'm like, no, but I love it. It's so, first of all, it stars his wife, Cherry Zombie, with horrible white lady dreadlocks the whole
Cherry
movie.
Cherry Zombie?
Cherry Zombie. That's
sure,
her
I mean,
name.
I would
say her name.
I would imagine that Rob Zombie's kids just like their hair just grows in white people dreadlocks. Like it's probably a genetic trait in that family.
You know how everyone like those people are always like, well, the Irish slaves and blah 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 about their like white people dreadlocks. And it's like we can all agree white people can have dreadlocks, but the only exception is Rob Zombie for some reason. We're just
well,
okay.
He's dead. He doesn't abide by the laws of man. It wouldn't make any sense.
That's true. Good.
I typed in, does Rob Zombie, and it autofilled have kids? And they don't. They're childless, which is,
you know what?
David,
which is a shame fine. Because I would love Rob Zombie to become a dad and make the transition to Bob Zombie.
I'm just saying there's no room for a car seat in the back of that Dracula.
Yeah, they're too busy slamming back there.
Slamming with a condom on. So, you know, hail Satan.
None of the Dracula passes any kinds of, like, car standards tests.
Oh, yeah, it is not street legal.
No seat belts for one. I mean, that's just the start. More slam room. You know what? When you get in a car and instead of like two front seats, they have like a bench. That's what I imagine the Dracula is like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably got a roll cage. It's probably actually pretty safe for him.
David, you're a fear freak, right?
Yeah, I love fear.
I'm always stressed.
But paradoxically, I'm also a big fan of No Fear,
the clothing brand.
The clothing brand, yeah.
Yeah. Or as Branson Reese put it, one fear.
That's kind of like a kink almost, but I have access to the Shudder horror service,
and I've
only seen House of the Devil on there. What else is good?
Oh, you should absolutely watch the Nicolas Cage Color Out of Space that's on there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's Nicolas Cage going insane while doing a Donald Trump impression. It's really fun. I mean, just in that vein, if you haven't seen Mandy yet, get your fucking shit together.
I was shocked how much I love that movie because, like, when anyone is like, "You're gonna love this shit," I'm like, "All right." Especially,
no, I won't.
If David, you watch,
I'm dead inside.
I can tell you watch a lot of horror from this conversation. I don't know if you ever get this where people are like, "You like horror? Have you seen Hereditary?" And you're like, yeah. "Yes, bitch."
Yes,
but,
I saw Hereditary.
So when people like were suggesting it to me, I'm like, "Yeah, whatever." But that movie was put it in my veins. That's what I mean when I talk about like sex hippie death cults coming to get me. I'm like, I can see this scenario happening where I just get like murdered in the woods by some fucking acid hippie. But like.
Yeah.
I mean, that movie's weird because they do have, like, chainsaw beasts. Those are real.
Yeah.
But also, the cult is, like, not magical.
No, they're just bad.
Presumably.
Yeah, like,
they just know men who have chainsaws for hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they've got some guys. It explains things as minimally as possible, which is generally the way that I like it with something like that. Just get to the chainsaw fight. I don't need a lot of exposition. Show me the tiger.
Also, the...
Wait.
What?
Have you guys seen His House?
No,
but I am very excited to. It looks really scary.
It kicks ass. It's really good.
What is it?
It's like these African refugees resettling in England. And the whole movie is like ethereal because everyone hates them everywhere they go in this way that feels like England is haunted.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, kind of like a metaphor or whatever. But then there's also like a real ass ghost kind of thing happening to them.
Cool. I'm going to watch that.
I highly recommend it. I watched it with friends of the show, Zanglia and Ben Wasserman. And Ben doesn't usually watch horror, and he ends and he was like, "I don't get it. Is it a metaphor?" And I'm like, "What do you mean, is it a metaphor? It's a movie." There was a monster in it. The monster was real in the movie.
Oh, my God. Fucking Ben.
Do you think Shrek is a real person? See, what are we even talking about right now?
Ben just thinks everything is alt, so he's...
I don't get it.
The last time
Fountain of Blood?
We had this Shudder conversation, I suggested you watch Stage Fright, and I still stand on that.
I know, I haven't gotten around to it, and I'm sorry.
You're going
to
lose your mind.
There's
a saxophone in it.
I feel like I have not, but I also need recommendations because I have not like made good Shudder choices lately. Like I always just end up going
that's
with something where it's like,
and that's how we improve.
I always just end up going with something where it's like, yeah, okay. And then like, I think the last thing I watched on there, it was a little bit ago, I watched this movie called Blood Vessel, which is, it's about a ship with vampires on it. But it's also,
name
like,
alone.
It's like a Nazi ghost ship, but then the bad guys are Roma vampires, and it's like, well, this feels a little
weird.
There's
too many hats. You know when you have a hat on a hat, and then the third hat is a fascist?
I'll
makes
trust
you, question
you
the
forever.
Boy, I hope the listeners enjoy that phrase because it is going to come up a lot when we start recapping this final episode of G Gundam.
Gee, what a Gundam.
I can't believe we watched all of it.
I can't.
It's not short.
Either. It's kind of funny too, because we notoriously behind the paywall give up on shows. So I don't know how this happened, why this happened, but I will say this. This ending was so insane and so out of nowhere that it doesn't make it all worth it, but it almost did.
I'll say this. I trust you forever.
So this was not a good show in your estimation.
It was the worst show. It wasn't even like bad fun for the most of the time, at least for me personally. Because like I love a bad anime that's like entertainingly bad. Like I love a bad dub and shit like that. This one had like 3 episodes like that, and then the rest of like 50 whatever episodes, I was just like banging my head against the wall.
Katie really suffered through it.
Yeah. I suffer.
Wait, how many
episodes? What do you think? 50 divided by... So it's 20 minutes an episode. Uh-huh. 50 divided by 3. So we're talking about like 18 hours of suffering.
My life is
broken up
suffering.
Over a year. There were some really high points. Katie, I feel like you somehow missed some unforgettable episodes. I don't know what happened.
I did miss...
clown kidnapping.
No, I was there for clown kidnapping. I wasn't there for Gentle Chapman, one of Gentle Chapman's.
Oh, Gentle Chapman on the episode that's all about falling in love with your butler is very important.
I don't know.
The highs were high. I'll say that.
Sure.
So,
but you know what they say about abusive relationships, Alex. It's the highs that... they try to trick you and manipulate to deal with the majority of the abuse. So it's just a classic narcissistic relationship.
It's the kind of show that makes you wonder if the sex is all worth it.
So I'm sorry. I'll try not to ask too many questions because you guys have been through this whole thing. But like the thing at the beginning where the guy in the tuxedo yells at me, does that happen at the start of every episode?
It happens every episode. And this one was so special because he bids you farewell.
Okay. It's like, all right. Because I forgot when I was starting the episode yesterday, I forgot that you had said that it was the final episode. And I'm like, who the fuck is this guy?
Well, they let you know right away. He's like, well, this is the last time you'll be seeing me.
Goodbye.
Everyone, say my catchphrase together.
I don't fucking know you.
David's just like, don't touch me. Who are you? Why is your suit that color? There's an eye patch, but an eye under it? Why? I do think it's funny they didn't take any initiative in explaining who that guy is or why he has a fake eye patch and sits on a stool.
Maybe it's
is he a reference to something?
I was about to say, like, maybe it's a cultural reference that we just have nothing to relate to.
Yeah, sure. The American listeners won't pick up on this, but that's supposed to be Yukio Mishima.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's there to stir the violence on.
Mm.
And that's what he does every episode.
So, and then one other thing. Is this, like, is Gundam, like, Real Steel, where they, like, it's, like, athletic competition between their robots, usually? Or is it, like, it's war? It's, like,
Well, it's usually, it was war, and then they had a kind of Olympic Games to decide who ruled the entire universe for 4 years in lieu of war, and then they've decided that they want a different kind of war game, I think.
Okay.
Well, but they didn't, though, because this episode is all about how there were actually no problems with the Gundam fight and they should keep having them.
Yeah.
If you'll recall. I took notes.
Yes.
It's a circle back to say, like, it was a great idea and there's no changes. I trust you forever.
It's just the ending of Burn After Reading where it's like, what?
What did we learn?
What did we learn?
Nothing.
Fucked if I know, yeah.
Yeah, it's 100% that.
But we learned not to trust the goddamn Dark Gundam, no matter how nice it seems at first.
Which was never.
There's so many plots in this that are like, I thought we had a nice Gundam going on, and then I get a hold of this thing bringing mummies back to life.
All right.
Well, we got 10 minutes until the recap, and we did want to do some segments here.
Okay.
Let's go into a formal enjoyment of Ask KRL. You wanna know the answer to a question about kink or taking a cancer, and you wanna know, just ask KRL. Here behind the paywall, we ask KRL the hardest questions in life, questions of life, love, and the pursuit of happiness. Writing in this week under the title Katie Wisdom is Miltonius Prime. He's the cousin of Optimus Prime, and he writes in, Katie, what is the superior pet? Small rodents or small reptiles / amphibians?
Okay.
Alternate question, which is better, paddling or flogging?
Okay, well, these are two very different questions, but I have opinions on them both.
I think we have time.
Okay. First question, it depends what you're looking for. Generally, I think amphibians, fish are better because both small animals and amphibians, like reptile-ass shit, are just kind of things you look at in a cage, but at least like the reptiles aren't going to bite you and stuff. The myth of small furry animals is that they're cuddly and cute, but most of them are like bitey as shit and they smell really bad. Except if you get rats, they still smell really bad, but they're very cuddly and sweet and are the closest to, like, having a dog you can get in a small animal. But most of them just...
I had rats when I was in middle school, and they were assholes. Those guys were such fuckers. You don't get more than one, because then they can scheme against
you. Yeah, those, like, they're too smart is the problem. But they also only live for 2 years, which is sad, but also, like, you won't have an asshole rat that long.
Yeah.
That's what happens. But yeah, generally speaking, I think reptiles are like better if you're just kind of like trying to have something like a really fancy houseplant or whatever. But there's this myth that the small and furries are going to like love you or cuter, but they're like mostly dicks and think of their
entire survival strategy as animals is like being small and getting away. And you're like, all right, welcome to my house. Day one. We're putting you in a cage. There's a wheel here, and I'm going to look at you.
Yeah.
What?
Like, hamsters are fucking dick bags. They'll just bite the shit out of you.
Katie, my question for you, is it worse to be bitten by those large, flat teeth or by, like, the small, sharp teeth of a cat?
Huh. Actually, the, like, large, because the two incisors going down really fucking hurt. I gotta tell you, they will fuck you up. I've been bitten by all manner of animal at my time in the pet industry, and I would say, like, yeah, the hamster or a rat bite fucking hurts the most.
What about a big spider? What does a big spider bite feel like?
I never gotten bitten by a tarantula. I've been bitten by a bunch of snakes. Those, it's mostly, like, scary. The movement's scary of it striking you, but then once it actually bites you, you're just like, the fuck are you doing? And it just hangs off there. So anyway, that's my answer to that one. I don't know. Do either of you fellas have remarks for reptiles versus small animals before we get to the kink conversation?
The only thing about reptiles is that they can never love you, and that will hang over me.
The small animals... People think they have the illusion that they can care for you, but I really don't think any of them do either, you know? So at least reptiles are forthright with their lack of affection.
Yeah, they're furry, but, like, a hamster's brain is so teeny tiny, and, like he's just looking at you like, oh, that guy's gonna squish me.
Yeah, and
real fear.
Yeah. And I love all these things, but there's something wrong with me, and I love things that hate me intrinsically. So it's just
right.
What
and maybe
it is.
That'll be a question we get 1 week,
yeah,
but not
probably.
Today. And for those listening at home, I mean, from the animal's perspective, from a hamster's perspective, you might as well be the Dark Gundam, and they just a run of the mill regular Gundam. So how would that feel?
How would that feel? And the other question was paddling versus flogging. Am I correct on that?
Right. That's like an Irish question.
Yes, it's about punishment for your ungrateful child or sex dungeon.
Or sexual partner.
So, for those not familiar, the difference is flogging is referring to either like a long piece of leather or kind of like a cane, or it's like a it has several tails, you know, but it's usually a soft object that you to kind of a tighter thing. Paddling is what it sounds like. So think about a frat boy pornography I know you've all watched before, where it's a, you know, piece of wood, sometimes leather, usually wood, or like a spoon, where you
get. If you're in trouble at Oxford.
Yeah, when you've been a naughty boy putting your cans in the candy jar. I think paddling is easier for noobs. You gotta know what you're doing if you're doing flogging. You can really hurt somebody. So.
Yeah, one of the best parts of sex for me is not accidentally whipping someone I love.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the point of either of these, but what I'm saying is there's like on purpose hurting someone in a fun consensual way, and then there's just like really fucking up, and I just feel like there's a really large margin of error with flogging if you don't know what you're doing yet. So
I think it's the word flogging, I do think of slaves as part of the problem.
Yeah, well, you know, some people are into that.
Yeah, paddling is the number one recommended course of action if someone is being saucy or insolent.
Thank you, David. You heard it first. So that's my opinion. You also get, God, this is like TMI. You get rounder bruises from paddling, and then like flogging is like little lines and shit. And I know some people are into that, but that too reminds me too much of slavery. So
it
that's
reminds
kinda
you
weird.
Too much of slavery. If you have a thing about slavery, maybe avoid the entire kit and caboodle.
If that's a problem area for you.
Listen, I can't believe the kind of like. Ugh. So I'm like pretty forthright about the kind of person I am, but like there's I'm like a apologist for like kink and
for
polyamorous
what?
People
oh,
because.
Okay.
They're just, once again, like the Satanist conversation, just like terrible nerds.
Yeah.
And they take everything too seriously. And you will have like these people being like, you know, like that are really into the slavery narrative and stuff like that. And I'm just like, no, thank you. I'm just here to have fun. I don't get away from me. It's just
you like to start your sexual encounter with someone yelling at you. How'd you get out of the holding bay?
No comment. I mean, I don't. I certainly don't, but somebody does.
Somebody does.
Anyway, I hope this
Who's
answers your question. yeah, I don't know. Get a reptile, and just like when you're getting a pet. You want to research stuff, so if you're going to be giving someone spankies with any sort of hard tool, make sure you know what you're doing and where to hit. Avoid the kidneys, okay, children?
Avoid the kidneys.
Yes.
Unless you're Frieza, and then
You really want to go for it. Cause
you know, at the beginning, I don't think I talked about this on here. My brother, who does listen to this, was considering getting a lizard in March last year, just like out of nowhere, and then was like, oh, I want to, but it's... pretty important you stay around the lizard so that it grows to love you or like adapt to you when you first get it. They said that's important and I'm working too much. And then a plague came down and no one could work and he still didn't get a lizard. That's a golden lizard opportunity.
Yeah. Alex, Alex's brother, which lizard was it? Because yeah, they're very easy and you can just hold the lizard, man.
You could have been holding a lizard through this whole thing.
Another.
What have you been doing?
Another advantage of lizards that I just thought of that you can't get with small rodents is like you could get two Komodo dragons and have them pull you in some kind of chariot.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's some really like boss bitch shit.
That would be metal as fuck.
What would you feed a Komodo dragon?
like your friends and
family.
Yeah, I
was about to say, they're carnivores, so like probably like house cats and shit.
Yeah.
Something, you know, the size of your leg every day so they don't turn on you.
Those things are fucking terrifying. Like they got one at the Minnesota Zoo when I was a kid and it was a big deal. And I remember just looking at it because it's just like lizards at the zoo don't do anything. He's just going to hang out there. But, like, I'm reading the plaque, and it's like they can run, like, 35 miles per hour over short distances and shit.
Jesus Christ.
And just, and they also have, like, a very silly waddling run, too. So it'd be like, ha, look at, oh, shit.
I'm dead.
Oh, that's it for me. Yeah, the other thing about them, too, is they hiss. Yes, like snakes.
And that's funny. Yeah, they run so fast, and then they'll literally, like, yank your colon out. Like, it's just right. It's so fucked up. Woo! Well,
I hope that helped.
I can't help if I tell if I'm helping people or really just fucking it up for everyone.
There's no way to know.
All right.
But you know what we do know?
What?
That we've finished the end of Mobile Fighter G Gundam, episode 49. Burning Gundam's Great Triumph, A Hopeful Future. Ready, go!
We didn't ready, go this episode. We really dropped the ball.
Ready?
Go! The last time, shed a tear, Vitamin C's graduation song's playing, let's go.
It's okay to do the ready go twice because there is a ready go in the title, in case anyone at home is confused.
When I was in the seventh grade on the last day of school, some girls in my class sang the Vitamin C song a cappella over like the morning announcements, and I've like never been that embarrassed for someone in my entire life.
Did they do a good job?
No,
it sounded like shit.
Damn, homie.
I hope they're not listening. I don't remember who it was.
I can tell you with clarity that they are not.
Well, sorry to those wonderful gals. We start the episode, as we mentioned, with the announcer man, whose name is never established, and we don't know who he is. He bids us farewell. He says we have no more information. He has no more information for us, and we should already know what the story is, because it's the last episode. And he says, please join me in a ready go together, and he does ready... Go! But when he does it, like, there's like 50 voices behind him this time, and you're like, who are those people? But it doesn't come up again. And so we cut back to the plot. Domon and his friends in the Shuffle Alliance last episode bonded together to do a big Shuffle Alliance attack, and it blew up the power core of the Dark Gundam, supposedly freeing them all from its terrible grasp. But what's this? That didn't happen at all, yeah, and the
psych!
Part that blew up just came back together somehow.
Oh, you know, I'm glad that they stayed consistent until the end in the sense that there is no consistency, nothing ever matters. They'll introduce a concept and immediately backtrack on it, so good on you, G Gundam.
Yeah, this has to be one of the few cases where a cause has had no effect in the show. So Domon, like, was at the end of last episode, he got like a Zoom call from his dad that was like, sorry, Domon, you got to kill your girlfriend. It's the only way to win the Gundam War is to kill your girlfriend because she's so hot. Oh my god. I know I'm your father and I've been frozen cryogenically for 20 years, but I'm looking at your girlfriend now and she's made of chrome and god damn. That pisses Domon off, so he like flies away. And so he doesn't see the Dark Gundam Corps come back together and fight his friends again.
Yeah.
And he's trying to work things out with his dad. And he's like, I'm going to go save Rain and stop this whole thing. And then wouldn't you know it, he is trapped by Gundam tentacles, which have gotten him all over his precious body.
Yeah, there's so many Gundam tentacles. They're all gooey, and we know where they're coming from and understand how they're made.
We know what they are. We understand why they're happening. They all have heads on them. That makes sense to us.
They're just made of sheet metal. It seems to be very flexible.
It's Dark Gundam cells because, as we all know, the Dark Gundam has the abilities of self-evolution, self-propagation, and self-healing,
replicate.
It makes more of itself, and it fixes itself, and it changes.
It's basically like, not a robot.
He's like a goddamn Jumanji plant.
Yeah, is it? It's like when you go into StarCraft and you activate all the cheats. That's how this Gundam is playing the game, and he has got his dark tentacles all around our sweet Domon. And so the Gundams of the world unite, and they're all in space. As we remember from last episode, we're seeing, like, the windmill Gundam core.
Just how you remember, there's a bunch of dumbass robots here. Look, this one's shaped like a bell.
Yeah, those are all there now, and they're, like, flying around, and they're lower halves are like gold flashes, so they're like zooming around like little flies, and they go around the Gundam tentacles and blow it up. And Mondala Gundam is taking a big seat this episode. He's kind of like out front as the leader.
Yeah,
and
which, you know what? Good on you, Mondala
Gundam. Good on you.
Get that stage time.
You were on one episode before. I don't know why they're bringing you back now. Like, you're a big, exciting guy.
Someone in the writer's room really was going to bat for Mondala.
Right. They lost. They did a rocks, paper, scissors over another episode, and they were like, well, you lose this time, but we'll bring back Mondala Gundam.
Maybe when they were just first making this show, like, that toy just did really well, and they're like, we got to get this guy in here.
That's what I've been saying, is that whenever one of these Gundams comes back, they're just like, yeah, we have too many of these left on the shelf at KB Toys.
Yeah.
We got to get rid of Mermaid Gundam. Give him a leading role in space. And so they're doing really well and destroying these big tentacles, which are a threat to everyone, need I remind you. I mean, these are bad tentacles. They're made by a Dark Gundam, for crying out loud. Except that even though they do destroy the tentacles then get them. And all our homies are in danger. We also see a return of... I'm still connected here? Yep. Okay. We also see a return of the very exciting development where the Dark Gundam sends an extra big tentacle down to Earth. And it worms its way into the clouds. And then just nukes like an eighth of the planet. And it's never explained why that's happening, but this Dark Gundam has got to fucking go. He's no good. We see the old man who Domon lives with on his boat, and he says he holds his children together as they watch the Dark Gundam's terrible tentacles crawl up, and he goes, "Let's all put our faith in our Gundams." And that's kind of reminding you where we are here. David, do you have any questions at this point in the show?
Yeah, what is happening?
It's this goddamn Dark Gundam, David.
Yeah, so that I gathered that guy's bad, and then the guy, his girlfriend is the Silver Surfer, and she's in there, right?
Yeah, well, the Dark Gundam needed a woman.
Uh-huh, because it's powered by emotions.
Because it's powered by emotions, that's right.
Am I right, fellas?
It needed someone who could bear life. And for some reason, that meant it had to be Domon's girlfriend. I don't know why.
Uh-huh.
As a woman is, like, just in terms of resources, you know, something that you can find almost anywhere.
Right? Well,
who am I to say?
Okay, yeah, I think I'm pretty much caught up. I think I know what's going on.
Yeah, and so there's this whole episode's just battling, really. There's the windmill Gundam explodes. They're
That's
all battling
the Dutch one?
In space. Yeah, he's Dutch.
that aspect of this TV show is so funny.
I know, and we did wish they would lean into it more, and they do really bring it back this episode, but it's so scatterbrained and crazy, it's not really fun the way you want.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, there's so much stuff in this episode that they just decide exists, but we'll get there.
So there's a big fight in space. The Dark Gundam is blowing up everybody, and there's sad music on. It looks like Mustasha is blown up, like they show her ship and then it exploding, but then actually she isn't exploded and it's not a problem. So I don't know what move that was, but they got me. I really thought they blew her up. Domon just decides he isn't trapped by these tentacles anymore. He just, like, blows them all up with his mind. And he does a burning finger into the heart of the Dark Gundam, which does sound like a literal heart.
Yes.
There's a thumping noise, and there's, like, corrugated hallways and stuff.
But it is all made out of steel, and it's a big corridor, and he's got a Gundam, and he's going through it.
Yeah.
and he sees a Dark Gundam inside of the Dark Gundam, and he gets his dad on the horn, and he's like, hey, Dad, I'm looking at a Dark Gundam inside this Dark Gundam. And then he sees that, and he goes, oh, you don't want to see that.
Yeah,
that's the
like,
last thing you want
to
see.
Oh, we hate to see it.
Yeah.
That's
and
his final form.
Can I? All right. The final, everything in this show is already so ugly, but this was by far the most convoluted, ugly piece of shit I have ever seen. It's like a Gundam head with a snake torso, another Gundam, and then big, like, meaty claws, and like, I did not know what I was looking at.
It has little booties. It has, like, little steel booties.
So fucking weird.
Domon looks at it and he says, and I quote, I wrote this down, this is wild.
He does say that.
That was the actual dialogue?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's right. And it is wild. He's right.
Yes, that's true. Pretty weird.
And so he goes to go blow it up the way he does everything. He gets his burning finger going and he's charging at it. And then he sees a vision of Rain naked and screaming. And he's like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
He pulls back in the last second.
And so, like, as someone who is meeting these characters all for the first time, that was like a very distressing change of direction.
Yeah. Well, I have not met all these characters for the first time. And this whole ending is bizarre.
It is maybe the most, like, dream sequence-like show I have ever seen. Even more than, like, something that was trying to do it on purpose, like Evangelion. Like, this just seems like it's so many half ideas crumbled together that it does seem like something your mind plays before it dies.
Yeah.
So he gets a message from Rain in his mind. She's like, no! And so he pulls back, and the Dark Gundam opens its titties up. It's got, like, a steel chest that, like, goos out, and then Rain pops out of it, and she's like piloting inside. I don't know why she showed herself to him, but Dr. Cashew calls Domon on the phone. He's like, Domon, I don't know if I got you on the secure line here, but you're not gonna believe this. This Dark Gundam is Rain herself.
What? Well,
and
shit.
Then, yeah, because it's the Dark Gundam, you see, uses emotions for energy, and Rain is very difficult.
She's an emotional woman, you see.
She's all full of emotions, and it's goddamn crazy. And then he reminds you again, and I quote, the Dark Gundam is Rain herself. Which, phrase-wise, is just a phrase you want to just keep saying, isn't it?
Just keep screaming.
Yeah, when that happened, I was like, oh, that seems bad.
Yeah, that's a situation you want to avoid. So then you're thinking, oh, so Domon does have to kill his girlfriend. That's a good last episode. That's pretty climactic. But no, he goes into a monologue about how crazy the situation is and goes to, like, a cabaret floor in his head. He, like, just takes a moment. He's like, whoa, freeze frame. I can't believe I'm fighting Rain. All these years, I loved Rain. Cut to any of the rest of the show.
But
he did not love
Rain.
Yeah,
he was such a shit. Like, okay. So we're going to get into it, but the whole ending of the show is about this supposed grand romance between Domon and Rain, which literally was not even hinted to, discussed. There was
wait,
like
really?
No. Yes, there's like no will there, won't they? I mean, there's like a couple of like, you know, she's always trying to support him and he's like flying off and shit, but there's no like implication of romance. It's like they have a working relationship.
Yeah, the thing too is the show does not plant any romance, but then like at two or three key points we'll double down and be like, it's just that Domon and Rain are in love.
Yeah.
They'll just say it outright, so you'll be like, is that something I'm supposed to think? This is something I'm emotionally invested in. And so Domon is in a like a moonlight beam, and he's talking about how much he loved Rain and how great Rain is. And then Allenby appears, who is his side piece, David.
Yeah. Up into
you know,
this
for security.
Right.
You gotta have a backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you show the primary plan, the backup plan, over and over again, and they're like, look out.
She's
you better
younger.
Keep it on the up and up.
Right, yeah.
I'm leaving for this younger plan than you.
Listen, you don't need to give me relationship advice. I know how it's done. Yeah, backup plan. Show him to the primary plan. Yeah.
Yeah, you're wearing the least amount of robe here today. So Alan B is in his head and is like, Domo, you gotta tell this girl you love her. Because that's what ladies love. And he's like, no, that's gay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, okay. So now all the animation becomes like Sailor Moon. It's like soft and pastel. And like, yeah, like Allenby's floating in a pink abyss. And she's like all blue and glittery. And she's like, it's about love, Domon. Just say it. Say how you
just
feel. And I'm like, what show is this? What show is this?
And then not only is Alan B saying it, cuts to all of his homies who show up and they're like, you gotta express yourself, dog.
Masculinity is a prison, bro. Say how you feel.
Use your words, cockhammer. And so Domo's like, it's weird, I can't. And Alan B is like, you have to say it to Rain, because otherwise I won't be able to fall out of love with you, because I'm in love with you. So I want you to fall in love with this other girl. A thing lots of girls say all the time.
Yeah, they're usually much more subtle about it than that.
Yeah, but just completely selfless. Not interested in getting what she wants at all.
That is how love works, though. Like, if you're in love with someone and they're like, I love this other person, you're like, oh, okay.
Good.
And then you sort of
I'm glad.
Just sort of disconnect with a pop, like something like a suction cup on
you're just like, well, fuck.
All right,
I see I am no longer needed.
Well,
cool, I don't like you anymore.
Completely unrelated, I have to go listen to some Cure and lay on the floor for medical reasons.
It's so funny, too, because in 99% of this scenario ending, Domon does murder Rain, and then Alan begets him all to herself. But you know, what do I know? And also, he's insane, so it's not like that's going to be a hang-up for him.
Right.
he's a murderer. so anyway, that's enough to sell Domon on going back to his hot wife. And Rain stops attacking, because she can tell she is about to get a compliment.
Same.
And so he's just screaming at her now, and he's like, Rain, what did we go through? It's been such a killer summer!
Yeah, he literally says that. He's like, we've been through so much stuff this summer, babe. Like, it's so fucking weird. What
I wrote down
this
a quote. I have a quote. It says, and I quote, I'm a guy who's ill at ease and knows only how to fight. The words ill at ease really got
me
there. I don't know.
He's also like, what has this year done to us, Rain? I'm like, were you together? I don't understand.
Babe, egg on my face.
It's so funny because I wrote down winning a fight by saying I love you, but I didn't even realize that this was not a romance before that. So that implies that it would work on anybody.
It would work on anyone in the street. How did Kimbo Slice get to the UFC, you ask yourself?
Hey, man, I love you. We were talking about this on the other episode. We're just like in a fight with someone, like, hey, we're both pretty good at fighting, huh?
All right. Looks like we are really made for each other, aren't we? And so he finally says, I love you. He goes, I love you, Rain. You are our girlfriend number one. And that is enough for her to pop out of this Dark Gundam, flying naked through the air. In space, might I add.
Yeah.
And she zooms
once
across
again,
the hallway into a cockpit.
This is a, like, shitty Sailor Moon thing. Like, you know, she's like, there's like billowing fabrics and like sparkles, and she is naked, which is crazy. So, like,
she's naked, she lands in his cape, and then uses his cape as a red dress.
Yep.
The way ladies do. And honestly, the Dark Gundam has had enough at that point, and he's like, all right, well, I mean, I guess I'm still evil, but at what cost? And so together they do a burning finger of love, Kyoset Sentyoken or whatever it's called. It's just a beam. Mm-hmm. It's just like a Dragon Ball Z style beam. And they shoot it. And wouldn't you know, and people have been talking about this, a literal king comes out of the end of the thing.
Yes.
And he is very stern with the Dark Gundam, and he yells at it. And then that is it for the Dark Gundam. There's no more Dark Gundam after that.
All right. Goodbye.
I've seen enough.
R.I.P. big guy.
The Dark Gundam does not understand the logic of the show anymore and has decided to take a leave of absence.
He's going to go yell at his agent.
I know I said I'm up huge. For anything, but come on.
I'm the Dark Gundam. You couldn't get me in a Nolan film? I could have been in Tenet, but with the Dark Gundam. Yeah, so that's a big turning point for the show. The Dark Gundam is destroyed. Domon and Rain are somehow on the Horse Gundam, Fusaikin, who I was sure was dead, but is not. And they're literally sitting on the horse. So when their Gundam is on the horse somehow gets into their cockpit, and they are riding on a horse.
Yeah.
This is a real intelligent anthropomorphic horse who's making decisions in a spaceship and wants to be with a new couple because it loves love.
Yeah. And then everyone loves love, apparently, because that's what this show is about.
That's what this show, that's what this campaign is all about.
So everyone is kissing, like, Chibidi kisses his wives, which is established, but then it turns out Sai Saichi has been promised to a random girl, and he's horny about that, even though he's a monk, and I thought that wasn't a thing. And
you missed the episode with him.
And
we had David Spector on, and he has a child girlfriend from, like, Sweden or something.
And then Alan B. and Mandala Gundam are fucking now, I guess, because they make a big heart banner.
All the Mandala Gundam fans going wild in the chat.
Like a sparkly, like, Bejojo Girl anime heart. Like, it's sparkly in the sky. I'm not even over, like, right? It's like a tattoo.
It's like a tattoo they give space. It's just a huge win for Mandala Gundam, piloted by a blind assassin who's taken thousands of lives. He's going to get with this 19-year-old. They're in love now. The Earth is saved. The Prime Minister of Japan is just checking in. He's like, I just want to know if there's going to be more Gundam fights, because I would watch at least another 52 episodes of this show. And Dr. Cashew, who's Domon's dad, he's like, yeah, of course there's going to be more Gundam fights. There's no changes. This is the perfect political system. We did it. And he says, and I quote, "We humans are a race that cannot seem to live without battle."
Yeah, that was the part that I really liked.
Brother man, you're preaching to the choir. We love to see the battles. And they show us all the Gundams one more time while the I Trust You Forever song plays. Na 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 na. Look, it's a windmill and it's a zebra and a Mexican hat.
Beautiful song, though. I really dig the theme song.
It's good. It really, I don't even remember when I was watching this when I was like 13, just being like, this theme song is a lot better than the other one.
Yeah, the song plays, and there's just hearts everywhere, and everyone's in love, and it's just literally like nothing in the rest of the show. I just don't understand.
Yeah, so the last shot of this, Domon and Rain are on the space horse, and he's pitching Rain on a trip to Earth. And he's like, why don't we go to Earth? Get this. It's where all my dead friends lived. And then she's like, yeah, whatever. I'm subservient in this relationship. Ready?
Go! But also, isn't, like, Earth all fucked up? Wasn't that the conceit of this whole show?
At least a large swath of it was destroyed completely by the Dark Gundam moments ago. But
they're
going back.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And it says in big letters, "I trust you forever." And the song says, "I trust you forever." And then it says, "See you again, Gundam Fight 14." And I was like, when? What? What did I sign up for? This is the end of this one, right? What's going on? And that's the end of the show. I was waiting for that giant king move since the beginning, and I finally got it.
I'm glad you got there.
Is this what love is?
I mean, from my experience, yes, it is.
Oh, great. Well, we better...
No notes. Seems like they nailed it.
No room for improvement. So I think we're ready to rate and review and skiddly do. David, thanks for coming on the show and watching the finale of Mobile Fighter G Gundam, episode 49, Burning Gundam's Great Triumph, A Hopeful Future Ready Go. Out of 7 Dragon Balls, what are you rating the thing?
Well, I liked how literally everything that could possibly happen happened in this. I think I'm going to go 5 out of 7.
5 out of 7? That's pretty good.
It's like a whole 1.5 Dragon Balls just for the theme song.
I am tempted to give it 7 out of 7 because it feels so nice to have ended, except that this episode does not deserve it, and I can't in good conscience give it that rating. I don't know. Katie, what do you think?
I mean, this episode was like the only episode I ever kind of liked just because I thought all the girly shit at the end was so fucking funny. I'll give it 6 out of 7. There you go, Gundam G Gundam. I gave you a good rating.
I'll give you 5 out of 7 because you brought the horse back and you gave me the king move.
Yeah.
The rest of it, I'm sorry, it doesn't. None of it made any sense. Thus, I cannot defend it. Maybe we'll get more perfect reviews for the next show. But that's it for G Gundam. Thanks for listening in to the entire series.
Yeah. And so,
dear listener,
if you are part of our $7 tier, we will be putting 4 shows up for a vote for the next one we're going to do.
Yes, and next episode is going to be the first episode of Dallas.
Yes.
So we're just going to leave the vote up, I think, for like 2 weeks,
yeah,
and then we will decide on our show. What's it going to be? Is it going to be Tenchi Muyo? That's up to you.
Yeah. Do you want me to announce what we're voting on, or should we just put it up there?
We'll just put it
up. Okay, cool.
Yep. And so I'm clapping my hands together, and that's another one of these in the can.
Swish.
Swish.
Whoop. There it is.
Ballin'.
All right, let's go.
Mike Jones.
Where'd you find this, son? Play the song. Oh,